about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your co-host, Dro. Got my man, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isimaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
Our resident degenerate is out. He said he's covering a shift. He went as far as to dress up in his work clothes and say hello to Derek on his quote-unquote way into work.
Yeah, very possible. The ways lead a lot of ways, and you never know which way he was actually heading.
We know for a fact that he was just pretending to go to work because, again, he probably had a tough weekend with his bookie and is once again ducking him.
I mean, a safe place to be is sometimes at work, you know? So maybe he's ducking him at work, you know? Like,
yeah, maybe.
Yo, sorry, man, I can't get you. I'm busy working right now.
That makes sense. Yeah,
so maybe he's like just really doing it.
He picked up a shift intentionally to duck his bookie.
That's planning ahead right there.
Yeah.
That's protecting your kneecaps.
It's actually responsible.
That's responsibility right there.
And he's making some money to pay his
bookie. Yeah, like, I'm trying to get you back right now, my dude, okay? If you want the money or not.
So Rudy's out, but we do have producer extraordinaire in the building, Statman Brad.
Yeah.
Make sure you go follow us, TBP Not A Game, TBP Not A Game on Instagram. You can check us out live, get a little peek behind the curtain of what we do when you don't hear our voices over the air during a drop. It's usually insulting each other or saying things that couldn't go out over the air, so
yes,
that could be fun for you.
And it's very possible any one of us could have a Neil Brennan moment.
I don't know about the
words, not the actual context or what he was saying, but like we do say some things that can't be said on FCC airways.
That's correct.
That's what we're trying to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gets a little spicy.
And behind the scenes, you get the spice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a little extra hot sauce.
It's like more new age would be Kruko at this point.
Is he getting a little edgy right now?
The son is. He got suspended.
Did he really?
Incorrect. Kuiper.
No? Kuiper. Sorry.
Okay.
Kuiper. My bad.
Oh, correct. Oh, no.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to lie. As a resident of the Northern California area, I've become accustomed to watching Giants games because it's my second favorite team, seeing the team beat who the Giants are playing. So
yeah,
I get to see it every single night almost.
And
it's, I got accustomed to those guys, and that's sad.
It's his son, though.
His son. Oh, okay.
The broadcaster for the A's.
Okay.
We'll
never
that
mind then. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Those are easy ones to skip.
Yeah, well... We'll get into that in a minute here. I do want to talk some hoops. Last week, I really tried to manufacture some passion and some hate in this room. It didn't really work, and your Lakers are now up 2-1. And I got to tell you, a lot of my energy was spent in round one that I'm just like, I hope we get this win and don't go down 3-1.
The thing that also is not helping, these have been really bad games, too. They have not been really good. The first one was decent.
Yeah.
And then the next two were blowouts when both of the team didn't want to show up. And it's unfortunate, like me as a Laker fan, having to hang my hopes on Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Like that's who all our hopes and dreams on is Anthony Davis. And is he able to complete a full game?
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Every single time he's touched, you think he's about to break. He literally is glass.
He spend a lot of time on the floor.
He makes everyone skip a heartbeat every single quarter, I feel. The moment he hits the deck, it's like, oh, no, he's dead. he's not coming back. He gone. And he mustered up and was able to get ready for it. And then, unfortunately, for the Warriors, I feel if Draymond is bad, you guys kind of lose.
Yeah, the supporting cast hasn't been great in game two or three. And that's been the Warriors' main problem this entire postseason is who else is going to show up. We know Steph's going to show up. We know Kevon Looney's going to grab some boards. Other than that, who's going to be the third guy, it hasn't been at all in the postseason, Jordan Poole, and that's been incredibly disappointing as a Warriors fan.
Yeah, apparently the baddies don't work for him either anymore, so he can't even get baddies on the side, and he can't even show up for that. So the dude's lost.
It's pretty tough there. Draymond Green had a great game, scored 20 points in, I believe, was it game five in the first round, and has been an offensive nothing ever since.
At least he gives you great post-game comments, you know, on his podcast. Yeah, that's always nice. That's a nice little touch.
What are you speaking to specifically?
Just that that's all he's bringing to the team right now.
Yeah.
I feel.
Well, and great defense.
Yeah, okay. He is still definitely a valuable piece for your puzzle right now. You need to have that guy. And you didn't play him well because he is still a very talented player in the NBA and has a role that he can fill very well that most people cannot fill, being a certain villain while also being like doing a lot of the dirty work, you know. But you only have him. That's really your only guy that's able to do like that dirty work. And I feel this might be the first year that Charles Barkley, being proved correctly that you guys can't win yourselves by shooting anymore. And you guys have been more than just that team, obviously, but right now I feel that's really all you have is just Steph and Clay. When they go off, it's unstoppable.
Well, points in the paint, the disparity has been miserable in this series. And Anthony Davis, both games that the Lakers have won, showed up big time. And so the Warriors just don't have an answer for Anthony Davis. And, you know, we'll see what happens,
Did anybody see that video of the corgi making the predictions for this game? Okay, so obviously it's supposed to go 3-1 Lakers. And then the Warriors win it all.
Yeah.
So, This you never know. This is just this script is being written right now, so you should be happy a little bit.
No, I won't be. I definitely won't be.
You don't trust the corgi and his ability to predict the future? How could you?
I don't.
It's a corgi.
I am so tired of that video as well. How does it continue to appear on my timeline?
It is annoying. I feel like once I see one video on my timeline, it should already know. Don't show it to me again.
Yeah, that's what the archive button is for. Like, I could save these for a later date if I really want to go back and use it during the show or to send to someone. I could save it.
There's a lot of things saved in my that I want to bring up the show that I often forget just because they get lost in so many things I've saved.
Yeah.
You're just like, what if I, where is it? You're just like, I've saved too much.
Oh, yeah. That happens, especially like on a Tuesday when we don't do the show until Monday. Like, I'm like, oh my God, where is this?
I'm going to get this going.
Yeah. There was something I wanted to talk about. But, you know, that's our problem, not the listening audiences.
That's behind the scenes stuff right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Spicy.
We'll see what happens. It's kind of hard to get that worked up about the series because the basketball hasn't been great in the last two games. The first game, obviously, we had a really close game with Jordan Poole missing that three at the end. But since then, just a blowout both ways. So
the whole thing we can hope for is just get to a game seven, I think.
Yes.
And if we get a game seven, that's going to be spicy no matter what.
No doubt.
Again, it's Bron, Steph. The legacy for someone is going to be written in stone, and your legacy will be cemented, essentially. Even just as a second-round win, this is going to be big for LeBron, I think, more so than Steph.
Yeah, doesn't Steph have – he's 4-1 over LeBron or
3-1? Steph already cemented his legacy, and like he's done enough that – even the fact that he has probably one of the biggest collapses in all of sports, people don't talk about that. That's how good Steph is.
Well, it's kind of difficult to talk about it when they just went the other way the round before.
And they come, so they won on both ends of that, that situation of the epic collapse that happened. But, and then he also won after that, too. He won a second one last year. Last year, which, again, it's very easy to sweep everything else that's bad underneath the rug when you continue to win. So that's why I say Steph's legacy is cemented. LeBron still has something that could be cracked because his last title is that 2020 bubble title that everyone's going to give – that everyone asterisks. It's got an asterisk no matter how you want to paint it or not. And it's also LeBron James, and he's lost so many times in the finals. And also, you know, there's that aspect to it.
Yeah, you do see LeBron picking and choosing his spots a little better at this point. And just like, I mean, in game three, he did practically nothing in the first half and then had 20-something in the second.
It is annoying as a fan to see this team like turn it off and on. It's like, can't we just do it all? Can we please? I know we can't because it's like somehow it's tough to. But like Anthony Davis, like you're still young. Come on. But he's fragile. That's the problem.
Yeah, that creates issues.
And Bron is a little bit older, but like the most built dude in the world. Like, he can't be broken, and you have the most breakable. Yeah. It's like they're polar opposites of each other.
Yeah, all I know is this isn't the Warriors of yesteryear. I understand that they went to seven with the Kings, and you know that championship experience came out, but that you can't really lean on that when you're going up against two dudes who in LeBron, who's been there what, 9 times, I want to say, to the finals, 9 or 10 times, and then
he won 3, lost 7, right? No, won 4, lost 7.
That's correct. So I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so 11.
He's a 10 or 11. Yeah,
I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure it's 11
because he went to 8 in a row, if I remember correctly. So you got obviously that's a guy who's not going to get shook by the moment, and Anthony Davis, every other game, he's going to be great. So you can't really depend on these guys are going to get shook. Like, you could, at least you had that in your favor against the Kings, where you only had one dude on that team who played with the Warriors and Harrison Barnes that had any, that's won before, right? And other than that, most of those dudes haven't even been in the postseason. So you could at least bank on the fact that our playoff experience could come in handy here, whereas against the Lakers, you can't really do that as much.
The other thing that I'm banking on is that every other game ends with Game 7 being the other game that Anthony Davis plays well in.
So yeah, yeah.
In that instance right now, Game 7 should be ours to win.
That's correct.
So I'll take that.
All right, there you go.
There you go. That's analysis right there.
Well, we know that's why you you tune in to us week in, week out, is for hard-hitting analysis. Yes, sir.
10 times, he won 4.
Okay, so 10. Okay. 4 and 10.
He's been there 10 times.
Still, going 10 times in the finals is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Like, it's almost half your career you end in a final. Like, that's
I think that, yeah, I think every other year then it would average out that he was in a final. That's stupid.
People will still challenge him, but either way, and I'm going to be one of those people that will challenge that, but still, I will also stand on the side and say that is impressive beyond belief.
Do we think any differently about James Harden because of this playoff series? Because he has earned a reputation of disappearing in the playoffs, and he's been fairly clutch in this postseason.
You got to give it to Doc Rivers, man. Let him go to Vegas, get a little steam blown off, and come back. Yeah. Shouts to you, Doc Rivers, playing the good old Phil card and saying, hey, you got to go to Vegas and let it loose, baby. I know what you are. You're a strip club fiend, and you need it.
Yep. Yeah, and he famously had his jersey retired in a Houston strip club.
The scariest thing is that it most likely will be Miami that will be the next round opponent, because the Knicks, I'm sorry, they're poop soup. My goodness. Yep. I'm sorry, Knicks fan. This could have been your year because you're going up against an 8 seed, and this is a Jimmy Butler-led 8 seed, and you're getting the Knicks team that is just awful to watch. My goodness. Can you tell me what the score of the... I know they're playing right now.
Yeah, I got
and
you.
And I hope this one's over quickly, because I just don't want to have to listen to Knicks fans think that they have a chance, even though it is fun to see them have a chance and then get it squashed. That is glorious.
Go ahead.
It's a 56-48 Heat lead at half.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. So I heard a really great stat about Jimmy Butler. I can't remember where I heard it, but Jimmy Butler, during the regular season with the Heat, he has had a total of 0 games where he scored 40 points or more. Jimmy Butler, in his career with the Heat, he has a total of 8 playoff games where he has scored 40 or more. Playoff Hemi. It's a real thing. Playoff Hemi might be one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen in my life. My favorite thing in this series with the Heat and the Knicks was the game he missed, Game 3, I want to say, or was it Game 2 in Madison Square Garden? Game 2, when he rolled his ankle in Game 1, didn't play in that next game, and he's sitting there in street clothes, and at the end of the game, he's just smiling and waving to the crowd like, yeah, you guys got this one. I was out. I'll be back. Then this series is over, and I love that.
And he only has 9 points this game.
There you go.
Only 9.
Doesn't need to be hitting me all the time.
No, he does.
Well, they'll have 31 in the second half.
He'll do that.
Yeah. Rest assured.
He'll do that. Got to give a shout out to my girl Sammy right now. She's out there doing the good work for all the people that need their good grass out there. So, shout out to my girl Sammy. She's listening right now.
Good
grass. Grass. I'm sorry. My tongue is not. I can't.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she was delivering
graphs. Yeah. Like,
I mean, analysis. Everyone needs graph paper.
Yeah. Well, here's a pie chart. Here's a bar chart. Like, just want to make sure.
I like a good circle
There's
graph.
There's a lot of businesses.
Big fan of circle graphs.
Yeah.
I like visual good circle graphs. Fun to look at. Yeah.
Helps the stats, you know, like paint a picture.
Yeah, exactly. Way to derail the show, Derek. Yeah.
All right. Shout out to graphs.
and to Sammy. And a Hemi.
And grass.
And grass.
Question.
Answer.
Did anyone know that was the Suns owner that Jokic
No chance.
No one has no idea what he looks like, right? No, he's the new owner.
No.
I had no idea who that guy was.
If they do suspend him for that instance, if you're not aware,
Jokic, ball went out of bands
late in the game. Phoenix Suns owner held the ball, wouldn't give it back to Jokic, kind of got in his face. Jokic gave him a little shove, and there was a flop of the century by that Phoenix owner.
Well,
it was a two hands up and back. It was a glorious way to fall.
I would imagine, though, if Jokic pushed any one of us, we would fly through the wall.
That's probably very true. Yeah, I take it back. He is a 7-footer, and he's also got Serbian power, too. You know, like Eastern European power, and that's different type of power, I feel.
Didn't he put Markieff, didn't he knock him out of a whole entire season?
Well, he gave him whiplash so bad. That's true.
A simple shove?
Shift from shove, yeah. So you're right. Maybe warranted, but at the same point in time, glorious too.
Yeah. How about this? How about just give the ball up?
I think that's exactly. If this wasn't the Suns owner, this would just been like this. The fan would have been thrown out. Like
yeah,
if he
correct.
Was just a regular 100%. Fan, he would have been thrown out for causing an incident. Like, yo, you can't do this.
That's right.
But he's a Suns owner. He's like, yo, you can carry out my dead body.
I saw someone say on Twitter that, well, he's the owner of the team. He owns the court. He owns the basketball. When did everyone get on management's side here?
Yeah. Like I agree with Jokic's points. Like I don't care who you are, you're a fan if you're on the bench. You're not a player. You're a fan at that point. It doesn't matter who you are. You're a fan when you're sitting on the sidelines.
You don't own the product of the NBA. You just happen to host a game right now. You own the building that they're in right now, sure, but you don't own the players. You don't own the league.
That's correct.
You don't own that ball. No, this game is its own entity right now. In which
he technically kind of does own the players because he has contracts for them.
That's a bit aggressive right now.
Employee
and employer. Are you going to say that your employer owns you right now?
Are you owned?
Are you owned by your employer?
What would be the difference?
Yeah. How?
I mean,
they may pay you more money and you can say, you own me now?
No.
Is that what it stands at? I mean, if that's the case, own me. Like, I'll take whatever money you can own me. But, you know, I'm just saying, is that what it stands? Like, I'm just saying, he doesn't own the players. You have a contract with them, sure. That doesn't make you ownership of it.
Fair. That's fair.
It's a bit aggressive, Brad.
Yeah. You're
reaching into your white roots, and I don't like it very much. Right? Take those back a little bit.
That made me super uncomfortable. Yeah. Thank you for stepping up. Thank you for being an ally, bro. Let's talk some baseball, shall we?
Oh, please.
Yeah, let's do it.
A little MLB preview for y'all.
Yeah.
We haven't talked baseball at all this season.
No,
we haven't.
Precious little.
No.
So, okay, a couple things, and then I'll let you do a full MLB preview.
Let's go for it, please.
Couple quick things. Yeah. So, 2 months in, with the rule changes, they've had some major rule changes with the shift and the pitch clock. Is there another one I'm not thinking of right now?
The shift band.
Yeah.
Those are probably the big three right there.
Pitch, you can disengage as a pitcher more than two times. After the third time, it's a balk.
No, that's right.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So a couple months in now, how are we feeling about these rule changes?
Brad still seems to be...
I was going to say, like, I don't mind them anymore.
Oh, you're getting better, yeah.
It's growing on me. I've watched a game or two now, and... I think the players are adjusting well, which I'm enjoying actually seeing the new strategy of the game. I don't like it as much, but I'm enjoying how the players are adjusting to it.
See, I must say, at home watching the games, it's great. I'm scared to go to a game because it's not going to be as enjoyable after, because I think there's something to be said about being at a game where it's just long.
Yeah.
It's got something. There's so much going on at a ballpark where you're with your friends, you're eating food, you're grabbing some beers, eating some peanuts, the crowd around you. There's a lot of ambiance to a baseball game that's not just the game. And now it kind of that ambiance is slightly shrunk. You know, it's not as impactful, not as deep anymore.
And you're seeing a lot of attendances go down. The Tampa Bay Rays versus the Houston Astros had 9,000 fans at that game.
See, that's tough right now because Tampa Bay, the fact that you're not showing up for your team right now when their team is on this historic run playing lights-out baseball, that should be packed out. If that was a major market, they would be packed out, sold out every single time.
Usually they have a decent crowd, at least over 20,000. But...
I think people can do simple math, and if I used to pay $100 for my seats for 3.5 hours, and now I'm paying $100 for my seats for 2.5 hours, I feel like
you're getting gypped.
Yeah,
a little bit less now. It's not lucrative for you anymore.
Yeah, no. If you're going to give me a third less of baseball, I should be paying a third less. So it should be $66.66.
Yeah.
And I'm good. I could justify that. I know that we went to a game. We got to see Padres and Rockies opening weekend. And I did feel like being at the park, like, wow, that went by fast. I wish I had another inning or two to kind of, because it is a different experience being at the ballpark. I do appreciate at times when the game, you know, takes 3 hours to finish. But as a fan watching on television, 2.5, 2 hours and 40 minutes, pretty great.
It's beautiful. That's the thing that sucks, because it is such a different experience watching it at home versus being at the ballpark. It's not the same, because, again, the ballpark experience is much more than just the game. And I think that's not really said for most other sports. Like, most of the sports, you really go there just to be at the game.
Right.
A basketball game, you're sitting at the court, you want to watch the game in action. You're not walking around the arena or anything like that. And at a baseball, same with a football game. You're not trying to walk around. In a baseball park, it is common. Just walk around the ballpark. You see a little action going on in the infield right there. You see, visit other parts of the ballpark. See, sometimes they have different food over there. And that's a fun little aspect of it that is kind of lost, that I will say is something I'm going to miss when I go to a ball game, which I have yet to. But it definitely is going to be a little bit.
That's not true. You're literally at the game.
I apologize. You're right. It's so long ago. And it was a different experience. That was an experience of one of its own, because we were in a suite, which I've never been in before.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
It was a little bit different.
Did you have to
say it's a different experience when you're in a suite, whether it's basketball or baseball or whatever it is. It's a whole different experience, and I love it.
Yeah. I like being catered to.
Yeah. It ruins watching it any other way. It's like, I'm like, I don't even want
to. I got to get up and get a hot dog right now?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean? You're not going to bring me a platter?
Wait, there's not a private bathroom, or I can go and do my business with no one else around me? I have to pee into a trough with everyone else?
Right.
What do you mean? I will say, that is the worst thing probably about baseball parks, is the bathroom situation for guys.
Troughs have to. We got to move past that in 2023.
The Giants don't even have that anymore.
No, they do not. No.
If you go into one and you got a trough, you feel like you're in a really old school stadium.
Yeah.
And your innocence is lost.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I can't believe that was a real thing for all these years.
I as a kid, remember going into the Dodger Stadium top deck and just the smells, the sights, the sounds. God. It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for way back when there was very little plumbing. Like, that makes sense. But as we got into like the 90s, 80s, like,
I don't have to dig a hole anymore. Come on, y'all. We're better than this.
Doesn't the new Clippers Arena have like 1600 bathrooms?
Yeah, I heard that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there we go.
Shout out to Ballmer for figuring that one out.
He was so excited about those bathrooms, too, when he was announcing everything. So excited.
I do want to get into this controversy with the A's, and also a shout out. So, if you haven't been paying attention, been kind of a tough year for the A's. They're terrible.
Yes.
To put it lightly, the team has bought land in Vegas, with all indications that that's where they plan on relocating, which would be the third team in the past, 5 years to leave Oakland, third professional sports franchise to leave Oakland. If they do end up doing that after the Warriors and Vegas Raiders did so, which sucks. And then they had this controversy where Glenn Kiper, their play-by-play guy, they're in Kansas City, and during the pregame, they did two things that day. They went to a famous Kansas City barbecue place, and they went to the Negro League Museum. And when he was retelling this story, he did not use the word Negro. He used the hard R.
Yep. Live television. It was great. Awful. Just awful.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's not great. The thing that I found hysterical about it, if we can find something really funny here, is no one seemed to really notice until the sixth inning, because that's how few people watch A's pregame baseball. No one is watching the pregame. So this did not become a thing until the sixth inning, when he issued an apology. And there's been a lot made. I know John Miller came to the defense of Glenn Kiper and multiple other announcers, saying that, you know, he didn't mean any malice by it. And if you watch the video, it's pretty obvious he didn't. But when it comes to being fired or not, here's the thing. Like, you are on live air, and there's a giant responsibility to that. And sometimes you can get fired for stupidity. And I feel like I don't want to be the arbiter of should, you know, fire the guy or don't fire the guy. Because that is someone's livelihood, and it was just it seemed to be innocent enough on face value. It wasn't a Brenneman situation.
Yeah, he wasn't actually physically calling out, choosing that word specifically.
Correct. It did seem like a slip of the tongue, which led some folks to be like, how can you have a slip of the tongue? You know, is this something you say, you know, often? And who knows? Who knows if he's a racist or not? Here's what I do know is if we fired everyone who's ever said something racist, there would be no one to do any work ever.
We're all gone at that point. Yeah. We're all gone. Yeah.
90% of our society has said something racist, purposefully or not, at some point in their lifetime. So he just happened to do it on air. It was a giant mistake, which all... I don't know, man. If he did it maliciously, this would be more fun to make fun of. But B, I do have a little empathy for the fact that what a horrible mistake to make. And now that's not how you want the A. Like, the A's have had enough tough luck this year. You don't need another headline that's not positive.
See, I'm just thinking about those first six innings, like what's going through his head as he's calling the game. Like, please, hopefully no one heard. No one heard that, right? No, and, like, what are they talking about? Like, who, like, with his, does the calls with Dallas Braden, I know.
Yeah,
the A,
yep.
So I'm wondering that's the entire time, like, who is he, like, are they talking in between? Like, do you think anybody heard that? How bad was that, man? Like, what is going, I want to know what his inner monologue was.
But. Well, if you watch it back, he goes through it so quick, it doesn't, like, in the moment, it doesn't seem okay. Like anyone stopped. They're like, was like, whoa.
Okay.
So I'm curious. there's definitely have more questions than answers here. Like,
did he even realize he did it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Yeah, I do not think so. And so,
with such callous, he says it. Oh my goodness.
Now, I do. Do you know when this controversy took place? This took place some weeks ago, right?
I thought it happened this weekend.
Was it over this weekend?
Yeah, I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure it happened over this weekend. Yeah, can you double check?
That I do want to give my man Johnny Doskow a shout out. He got called up to actually do a play-by-play game before this controversy called for the A's after 30 years of doing minor league baseball. Johnny Doskow is the consummate professional. I worked with him as a board op and producer for the Rivercats. And just a really, really great dude with an incredible classic baseball voice. I don't know how it's taken him this long, but it's just a really cool story to think you put in 30 years and you finally get your call up.
Thanks, Kuiper, for being a racist.
This was before. I don't think they were related.
It happened over this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know which day it
Johnny
happened, but
Johnny
it was this
Doskow's
weekend.
First call was. Back in mid-April.
Never mind then.
And I meant to bring this up on the show like 2 weeks ago, and I totally forgot. But just a great dude. He was always very gracious with his time with me and teaching me how to be a professional, so it's pretty cool to see that he has this opportunity. Let's just go around baseball, wherever you want to go with it. Your Dodgers are leading the NL West again. We already alluded to what Tampa Bay is doing this season. Is there anything that is really either surprising or just has stood out to you this season?
No, like I said, I'm going to leave my Dodgers out of this right now because I'm someone who does like the game and I try to watch it as much as possible, get a widespread out there. So I'm going to go East Coast right now and give you a nice little taste of the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow.
That is a team right now that is a lot of fun. They are young. They got some great pitching, especially in that in the bullpen. They have a couple of great arms. Their setup guy, Cano, and their closer, Bautista, are nasty. Cano, in particular, is a filthy guy. And when he comes into that hold position, you do 7th and 8th inning, he's a nasty dude to have. And they have some great youngsters in particular. Adley Rutschman behind the plate, he's a Buster Posey-esque type of player right now. So any San Francisco Giants fans that needs a team to hold on to because your team... It might be a long year, but we want someone in the East Coast in the AL. They're same colors as you, black and orange, y'all. It works out well, okay? Transfers over well, okay? That being said, this Orioles squad has got a lot of funness to them. They're Gunner. Gunner something? They have Matt Holliday's son in the coming up works right now. So they have a team that's going to be coming around. They're putting on a hell of a show, and the AL Central, AL East in particular, is. Disgusting. All the teams are above 500. Four of them have 20 wins on the season right now. And the one team that doesn't is the New York Yankees. The Yankees are the one team that are sucking bad in that one, and it is delicious to see. So shouts to
Henderson.
Gunnar Henderson, thank you. Yes, yep. He is a youngster. He is fantastic. They have just a great lineup. And so Baltimore Orioles, a fun team that's happening in baseball. Starting off really strong, second behind this surging Tampa Bay team that is just, like we said, they're playing lights out baseball. It's disgusting to watch. So shouts to the Baltimore Orioles and how you're handling this start of the season. I hope you guys can keep it up, because it would be fun to keep the New York Yankees out of it all and have everybody else in the AL Central get it, because Boston is playing fantastic. Toronto also has a squad. So the AL Central, AL East, why do you want to say AL Central? The AL Central is garbage. It's straight up garbage, the AL Central. Like, it is disgusting how bad the AL Central is. And I keep wanting to compete them with the AL East, and it's bad of me.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Pittsburgh, out of nowhere, they've had a good year.
Pittsburgh
as well.
Pittsburgh has been great. NL is not. Yeah. NL Central is rough too, because St. Louis, I can't say what I actually want to call them, the S-Birds. They're doing terrible. That's great to see as well.
I was gonna say, I feel like you would love that.
I love that. Yes, St. Louis doing bad is great to see. The Cubs. Mm. Great to see that they're kind of rebounding. Milwaukee, haven't seen, but Pittsburgh, like I said, that is a great young team as well. Getting also nice little veteran leadership in Andrew McCutchen.
Yep. Back in there. And they're having fun while doing it. Both them and the Orioles, they're just a fun team to watch. They bring a lot of joy to the game that you just don't see in a lot of areas. It's just, I mean, you're only going to get two and a half hours of a game. Guess what? You're going to have a great entertainment with those bench
players. Very true.
Players.
So, baseball is fun right now. There's a lot of teams that you're not expecting to be good that are good. So shouts to the teams that are coming up, and those draft picks are finally coming into play for the Baltimore. Nice to see that.
Shout out to Andrew McCutchen.
Seriously, right? Though. He's had one heck of a career.
Glad he came back to Pittsburgh. He looked great in that black and yellow.
Yeah, shout out to Andrew
McCutchen. Where he belongs, honestly.
I really want to go to that stadium. I heard that PNC Park is a really nice stadium on the Allegheny River. Picturesque, and it's beautiful to see them doing well too. Also, we never talked about it. Drew Maggi. I don't know if you ever knew that name. He was a traveling minor league player for 13 years.
Yes.
He was 33 years old, got called up by Pittsburgh, got himself a knock and an RBI. So shouts to him for sticking true it, man. First time up, 33 years old, being
that's
that
crazy.
Man, that's awesome to see. Kind of reminds me of a little Bull Durham action right there, you know? Little Crash Davis.
They had they had Drew Maggi on the Lebatard show, and they asked him what the difference is, and he was like, everything. And they're like, have you stolen anything? He was like, yeah, razors. Whatever I get my hands on.
Touche. That's what you got to do, man. Fill thy pockets.
Yeah, what a cool story, though. All right. There's a little baseball talk for you. We'll have more and more of that as the summer really is going to feel like it's here by the time the weekend gets here. Now it's going to be in the mid-90s this weekend.
Yeah, I know. It was a nice little last little hurrah for spring.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you're dead now.
Yeah, it gave us Chuck the Deuces.
Yeah.
Gave us a little rain over the weekend.
Like one more time to put your pants on.
Yeah.
And I'll put them away forever.
Yeah, at least until October.
Minimum.
Yeah. No, true.
I mean, it is sad to see the spring go away. I'm always scared for summer because I know all hockey.
You know what it is.
I know what it is. Like, I'm just like, all right, bring it on. Let's go.
I get it. Oh, appreciate y'all checking out Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. People-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We also want to thank our friends and supporters at Butte College announcing their summer class schedule. Knock out a general ed class or pursue the skills you need to jumpstart your career by taking classes at the Butte College Glen Center, Chico Center, main campus, or online. Summer sessions begin June 12th. Visit butte.edu/start and make this summer all about putting the heat on your success.
Straight up, get those general ed classes out the way.
Knock them out.
Really, if
knock
you can.
Them out. They're a real pain in the ass when you get to your senior year and you realize you might have an extra semester because you have more general ed to do.
That was me right there, guys.
Yeah, me too.
Don't do that. And it's way cheaper at community colleges, too.
Way cheaper.
Way cheaper. Yeah.
Listen, if I ever accidentally have a child that I bring into this world, unless they get a full ride, you're going to trade school or junior college.
You're getting those ones out of the way first.
Yeah.
Try out a little bit. Junior college, don't look down on it. It's a great place to,
I love
if you don't know what
college,
you're doing with
yeah.
your life, want to figure it out, junior college is a great place to figure out, try some classes out, you never know.
Yeah.
Can I get grinds my gears?
Okay. Yeah, give me a second.
It just reminds me of when you're talking about college.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
I'm ready if you're ready.
Ready.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Pathways at Chico State. Why are we? I went to college for a reason. I'm here for a reason. I'm here to be a broadcaster. I'm here to be a communication design major. I'm not here to do any pathway. I'm here to get in and get out. Why am I taking nonsense three classes that's extending me an extra year and a half, maybe even more?
So for those of you who are unfamiliar, and this is a statewide thing, it's at all the state schools. What pathways are is it's upper division general education.
Yes.
And the argument for it was to broaden our worldview. You know what I didn't go to school to do is broaden my worldview. I'm just joking. Obviously, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But I remember going to a panel where the average student, it's taking, I think it was 5 years to graduate. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure it out. And like, we have to do 9 extra units. Like, what do you mean? Of course it's taking longer to graduate. Y'all make it because take more school than is necessary for the actual credit or the units. You need 120 to graduate with the bachelor's, but we have to do 129 at Chico State because we have these pathways, and I don't understand it, and you're confused on why it's taking us longer.
Yeah. Like, those three extra classes make a huge difference because a lot of times they're every other semester that they're offered. And it extends it.
And they're boring.
Yes.
I don't want to learn about this. Like, you try to find something that might be entertaining to you.
Listen,
like,
okay.
It might. I don't want to go through a school just to get entertained. No, I'm trying to learn something. I don't want to have to force into learning something that I have no need to learn.
Or care to learn.
I took a class about the apocalypse. And you could, or your thesis or your final paper could be about a zombie apocalypse, a pandemic, or like, you know, a nuclear fallout. This is a class that I took. For what? How long were we in?
Wait, that's upper. That's considered upper.
It was a pathway. That's correct.
Yeah.
General education.
Wow. That's correct.
This is what our tax dollars are going towards.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
I also took a food and animals and religion class.
Okay.
About like what each animal means to each religion. It ended up being a veganism class where it was like why we should be vegan. I was like, this makes no sense.
The only one I had that I liked, I took a biology of sex class and I saw ducks ejaculate and they have crazy.
The corkscrews.
Yeah. Ducks have weird penises.
No, that's true.
They do.
That video itself made it worth it to me. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, so I guess you got some value out of
biology of sex. You can see duck porn.
All right. interesting.
All right.
Let's see what else we could learn from Derek today.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, we're going international with our first news story of the day because apparently, once again, TikTok and its viral sensation strike again. This time, hitting the good old country of Israel. Now, fortunately for them, in Israel, they're having a massive shortage due to a recent TikTok fascination. What's that shortage of? Fruit roll-ups! That's right, fruit roll-ups. The delicious snack that we all know from grade school. You'd maybe try to trade something for that if you had that. If you had a fruit roll-up, you were definitely king on in the lunch room.
Yeah, that
for
was
sure.
A big deal.
You had one of the maybe a fruit by the foot. That's a good little thing to have. Gushers were also nice.
Yeah,
to have
oh, Gushers. Oh, yeah.
If you had Gushers, fruit roll-up, or fruit by the foot, you were living large out there.
That's right.
If you had beef jerky, you were even king. I feel like you were king if you had beef jerky. That was a special treat for us. I don't know about you. Didn't have that much because it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Poor people problems. Moving on up, though. So, again, fruit roll-ups, travesty, not happening in Israel right now. They can't get them. Why? Because there's a new TikTok sensation out there where apparently you wrap ice cream in these fruit roll-ups, freeze them, then eat them. Sounds delicious.
That's not the trend I heard.
Oh, no. What
no.
do you do?
For fellatio, you put the fruit roll-up on the
juice. Why? Not totally okay. Not necessary right, for the show right now.
Either way, so you're wrapping it around something.
Not at all helpful,
either
Brad.
Way, fruit roll-ups not around in Israel. So what do we need to do? Get those into those country right now because we need to continue to eat ice cream and only ice cream. We don't promote anything else but ice cream eating on this show.
That's okay? right.
That is all we do. Do not wrap it around anything else other than ice cream.
Okay? That's correct.
Do not. Don't even think about it. Stop thinking about it, guys. Moving on. No, we're not moving on because the story is still very impactful. So apparently a couple of Americans wanted to hike up, make a little money, because apparently one single fruit roll-up can go for $6.
Wow.
$6
that's
to wrap it. $6. So they flew in 375 pounds of it. obviously, that was not legal and was confiscated. Try to smuggle in some fruit roll-ups
wow.
right now. That's what we're getting into right now. We're smuggling in fruit roll-ups to countries.
That's crazy.
Wow. Okay. So, fruit roll-ups. Give it a try, y'all. Get them on your shelves. They're worth a lot, apparently. All right. Moving on. Now, recently we had one of those lists that comes out that likes to list the most dangerous cities in America. I love these lists right now because it lets me know where do I want to live next. You know, I like a little danger in my life. Keeps me on my edge, you know. I want to be able to use my shotgun on somebody. You know, come into my house, y'all. Let's go. Actually, I don't. Leave me alone. I don't have to touch anybody. That being said, California has got four of them in the top 25. So I'm going to give you guys a chance right now to a little interactive play. Can you give me which four are cities in California do you think are in the most dangerous places to live?
Can you tell us how many are in Northern California versus Southern California?
There are three in Southern California, one in Northern California. No, I'm sorry, two in Northern, two in Southern. I apologize.
Oh, I would go Richmond.
No.
Does not make the list.
Does not make the list.
Does Oakland?
Oakland's not on that list either. No.
Is Fresno?
Fresno
there
is.
There we go.
Fresno all right. is.
All right.
Now, you are close. San Francisco is in that list right now.
Okay.
San Francisco. So it's topped Oakland right now. So everyone in San Francisco go to Oakland.
I'm just going off of the song here, California Love, but is it Compton or Inglewood?
No.
Really?
No.
Why don't you give us
okay, y'all, give me
yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of cities in California.
The most dangerous city in California is Bakersfield.
Oh, I was actually going to say Bakersfield.
And dang then it. Next Bacon. On that list, Stockton.
That makes sense.
There you go. So places that I thought were odd on this list. Number two, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I guess I'm thinking maybe I think of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like maybe
possibly.
That gets, yeah, possibly, you know. Then number three was Anchorage, Alaska. Who the hell lives in Anchorage to be killing people up there?
It you could know? It be. Well, maybe because it's grizzly bears.
Yeah, I was going to say, could it be animals?
Yeah. Animals, there you go.
Not actually people.
Yeah. And then number seven, Corpus Christi.
Really?
I find that odd.
Yeah.
Corpus Christi is a delightful area right now. There's just beaches.
Yeah.
I guess, you
that's
know.
That's very odd.
Don't get in my sun.
Apparently.
All right. Well, there you go. Don't go to Bakersfield, Fresno, Stockton, or San Francisco, guys. Danger.
Right.
Danger. Danger.
Right.
That's the news, y'all.
All right. Very good. Appreciate it. All right. Let's class up the show a bit. Each week, we bring on our foreign correspondent to cover the sports that we're not covering enough or doing a well enough job paying attention to. So with that, we bring in Aaron.
Hello. How's it going, guys?
Yo, yo.
We're doing pretty good, I feel. We're in high spirits for having a long weekend. So, Aaron, we are in the midst of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
We have a game literally happening right now.
Puck yeah!
There we go.
We've got the Golden Knights and the Oilers playing. This series is tied at 1-1. So far, a fairly uneventful game. There's only one goal for each team, which has been unusual because some of these games have been insanely high scoring. The Devils scored 8 yesterday against the Hurricanes, who scored 4. And you would think, like, that's a fairly high scoring game. But the Hurricanes have had 7 goals in one game. Oh, no, it was 6 goals on Friday against the Devils. And Wednesday, they had 5 goals against the Devils. In the first game, the Hurricanes scored 3 goals. They switched out their goalie, and like 2 minutes later, another goal was scored. So the Devils really needed that that 8th goal game last night. Just absolutely insane. We've had some other pretty high scoring games. Yesterday, the Kraken scored 7 against the Stars. Let's see what on the. Let me find some other high scoring. Just really high scoring games. I mean, you would think like a 2-4. Game would be pretty high scoring, but no, 7 goals, 8 goals, it's pretty crazy. And I would just like to say, I called it, I don't want to jinx it just yet, but the Panthers are up on the Maple Leafs 3-0.
That's
so,
a sad place in Toronto right now. They are definitely, I feel like if they finally won a series, they were all happy about it. But if you don't win, if you get swept in the next round, that's got to just be the worst feeling ever. Like, it's like, why do you even go?
Well, especially to a team that is from
Florida,
South Florida too,
South Florida,
right?
Yes.
Like This isn't a team that is one of, you know, is in a traditional powerhouse.
This isn't the Red Wings. This isn't the Blackhawks. No, it's pretty bad.
It's the Panthers.
I love it. I am rooting for the Panthers the rest of the way here. I hope they win it all. Their team's actually really, really fun to watch. And I've actually been catching a lot of Florida Panthers games in this Stanley Cup playoff for some reason. So let's go Panthers. And you did call it. You did call it. And just imagine you're a team like Toronto, where your nation invented hockey and you haven't won since, I believe, the 60s. And this means so much to you and your town, your city, your community. And you're losing to a team that, you know, it's like, that's cool when we're good.
They're more known for their beaches, you know?
Their water sports.
Yeah.
Not good.
I feel like this would be honestly kind of equivalent to, let's say, like Brazil or Argentina losing to in a football pitch to like a team like Jamaica or something like that, you know?
Yeah. It's got to be brutal.
That would be just be awful.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah. Anything that makes the make-believes feel less than they already are makes me happy.
You called them the make-believes?
Make-believes.
I like that. All right. Do you have anything else for us on hockey, or did you want to talk a little derby?
Yeah, derby. I'm for the derby. It's a random sport. I guess we can call it a sport.
I guess, right? Like,
yeah. I don't know. Anywho,
it's always weird when they call the horses athletes. I always am weirded out by that.
That's bizarre.
Freaks me out a little bit.
Not to say they're not athletic, but
no.
Again,
they're not athletes.
Yeah.
They're horses and they're running. The sport's not.
They didn't pick this up as a hobby.
No.
Right?
Like, I think they were like, hey, you're going to go ride horses right now. You're going to run races.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I can run fast.
Yeah. Anyway.
Continue, like, Aaron. Sorry.
To cap that off, it's something even more sad. A big highlight coming into the Derby was five horses had died before Saturday. Two of them belonged to trainer Staffy Joseph, who ended up suspended, so any of his horses couldn't run. And then an additional two horses died on Saturday. Just really awful stuff.
Again, tough to call them athletes when you're putting them down on the court, you know, right on the field of play.
Right.
You know, like, imagine if we had like all our athletes. Oh no, you just pulled your Achilles. All right, we're putting you down right now. Yeah. But sorry, you're done for. You can't put.
It's
can't come
pretty
back.
Inhumane,
you know. And it's sad that the horses are like, hey, we can't save you after a broken leg. Sorry, bud.
No, it's pretty horrible that we do that. Like, we can't put them in horse rehab or like, you know. Like,
I gotta feel there's probably something the owners like. It's probably just way more worth it just kill the horse right now than to try to
save. And that's awful.
Yeah, I know.
We shouldn't be putting horses through that. But anyway, so it was a fun event or what?
It's always a fun event. Tons of people show up. This year, Madge ended up winning. The jockey was Javier Castellano. Trainer was Gustavo Delgado. Fun scenes afterwards. They were chanting Gustavo's name. Madge was, I think, a 15-1 to win. So if you bet on Madge, you were having a good time.
There you go.
Preakness on May 20th. Belmont Stakes is June 10th. The favorite to win the race was this horse named Forte, but because that horse dropped out, not eligible for the Preakness. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at the Preakness.
Well, that's always something fun to bet on.
I mean, over under seven dead horses.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Eric, can you stick around for a couple quick questions?
Absolutely.
All right. This one, we haven't done this in a couple weeks, and the inbox is loaded, so we'll at least knock out one or two here. This one's titled Buddy Owes Me Money. What's up, dudes and dudette? Big fan, blah, 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 blah. I wanted some help on how to circumnavigate an issue with a buddy who owes me money. Some quick background for you all. I have a core group of friends from college that were all teammates of mine on our baseball team. We lived together three of the 4 years in college. And though we graduated 5 years ago, we all still keep in touch and go on an annual golf trip together and pick one giant series per year that we all go to. About 8 months ago, one of my buddies asked to borrow some money to move into a new apartment. He recently got a new job and, having to move to a new city, didn't have the money on hand to pay for it. I am fortunate to be in a position to help him out, so I did. The problem is now we are 8 months removed and he hasn't paid me back. I have sent him several texts about it. He hasn't texted me back, but he is still active in our group texts with my buddies. It really isn't about the money. I'm mainly upset that he took the money and didn't bother communicating with me that he can't pay it back. I don't care if he paid me in small installments, but the fact he has totally ignored it makes me want to punch him in the face. To make matters worse, he even plans on going to Pebble Beach this year for our annual golf trip and plans to attend our annual trip to watch the Giants. This is really, as you guys would put it, grinding my gears. By the way, which you haven't done in a while, and it's one of my favorite segments. This guy must have wrote it a week ago because we did the show a week ago. We did that segment a week ago. I've tried to be upfront with him, but he's not showing me the same respect. I have thought about mentioning it in the group chat with the hopes of publicly shaming him, or by publicly shaming him, it might make him realize what a jerk he has been about this. I thought about telling my boys and giving them an ultimatum. If he's going and hasn't paid me, I am not going to go. But ultimately, I would end up punishing myself in that light. I do not want to stop being friends with him. I just want him to at least attempt to make an effort to pay me back, or at the very least acknowledge that he owes me money. I've sent him several Venmo requests, and I have only received silence. What would you guys do if you were me? Aaron, let's start with you.
I wouldn't go publicly to the group, because then it just kind of makes you look like the a-hole. So I would do the other petty thing, and I would just go to everyone individually and be like, hey, you know, just trash talk him a little bit. He owes me money. He won't get back to me. Has he done this to you? I don't really know how to approach this. So just do it to everyone in the group so everyone talks about it, and then you know that everyone knows. And so you'll feel better about it. At least you got to talk bad about him behind his back. Otherwise, let it go. If you really don't care about the money, it's going to eat you alive. So let it go.
I think it's hard to let that go, especially if he never acknowledges it. And I can see his point of view. The silence is what's more deafening than anything, I think.
Agreed.
And I think I understand it is something maybe to not go publicly in the group, because that is just – but it is something to talk about your friends with. Like, hey, have you had this problem with him before? Is he like that? Because if you are in a group and he does owe you money, doesn't say anything to you whatsoever, and he goes on these trips where you go to Pebble Beach and whatnot, where that's a pretty penny.
Right.
That's
not cheap.
That's not cheap at all. And you're saying you're willing to do that rather than pay me back, or at least not even acknowledge to pay him back at all? There is something that's a little very skeevy on there, and I would have a problem with it too if I put myself in that situation and you gave that person that amount of money. And if I was in a situation where I took that amount of money, I would feel so much guilt. Like, how can I not give this back? I can't go to this trip until I give him money back. The fact that he doesn't have that on his head is also concerning too for me.
Yeah, I think it is pretty, it's disrespectful to just move on with your life, be in the other group chats, and never once say, hey man, you're right. Now I know I owe you this money. Is it cool if I get you after we go on this trip? Or is it cool if I make some payments? Like, if you're in the position where you're blessed enough to be able to support your friend, that's awesome. My mother always told me never loan money to friends that I'd be upset about if I didn't get paid back. So that's a lesson that's one to grow on. I do think I would mention it to my friends because, one, maybe he's done this to other members of your group. Two, maybe he will do this to other members of your group. So it might be good to get, like, the heads up out there.
Don't lend him money.
Just to let you know, I'm a little upset about going into this trip because, you know, so-and-so owes me money. I've reached out to them. They haven't acknowledged it. And, you know, they're still planning on going on this trip. And that's really frustrating.
Because you got to bring it out there to them, because it's going to come up in that trip no matter what if you're there.
Yeah, and you don't want to be drinking with this guy and out on a guy's trip and go off on him. So I think just get it out, try to vent. But if you're okay moving on from it, I think I would bring it up during the trip. Like, yo, man, like, this is what's going on. This is why I'm upset. And then I would let it be.
Yeah. But I would also say, like, or agree with you guys on actually talking to the group, because I don't know what you'd feel if this guy took advantage of somebody else in the group, knowing that you might have been able to stop that as well. Like, it's a lesson learned, but at the same time, don't let it happen again to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we're all aligned. This guy's being a jerk, but I don't think you need to publicly shame him in the group chat. I think maybe talking to your boys and just giving them a heads up is the way to do it. Mm-hmm. And then when you're all out on the trip, before you let it, you know, boil over, I would bring it up.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just leave it at that one. We only have 6 minutes left, and we have like 12 more segments to get to. So, Aaron, we will catch up with you next week. Thank you as always.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, guys.
Later, Aaron. All right, you want to do the North State update?
I got it. You don't even need to give me my intro.
All right.
It was quite a doozy of a weekend. So Chico State baseball played here in Chico against Cal State LA, lost the first two games, 3-6 and 7-11 in 10 innings, and then they won their last game 5-3 on Friday. Unfortunately, Saturday was canceled, and that was the end of the season. They did not make it to the CCAA playoffs. Yeah, it was a difficult one for them to swallow, but they ended the season with at least a win. And unfortunately, a cancellation. They went 19-25 overall, 13-21 in conference. But the excitement happened in softball. Chico State went to the CCAA playoffs, and they had to win it all. They had to win it all to have a chance to go to the West Region playoffs. They started off in a play-in game against Cal State San Marcos. They won 5-2. They then take on the number one team in the conference, Sonoma State. They win 3-0.
Let's go, ladies. Come
yep.
on. Let's
then,
go.
Then,
keep it going.
Hold on, hold on.
There we go.
There we go.
One more?
Yes, one more. Now, baby, let's go.
Then they face, and if you guys remember correctly, Cal State Dominguez Hills was ranked midseason, and they beat them 2-1.
Woo woo, let's go.
Going on to the CCAA finals.
Finals.
Let's go, ladies.
They knocked out Cal State Dominguez Hills from the winner's bracket. They went and they made it through the loser's bracket. So again, another game against Cal State Dominguez Hills. And they go into 9 innings and they unfortunately take the loss 5-8. But this is where it gets incredible. They go and play against Cal State Dominguez Hills once more 30 minutes later. And it is a tight one throughout the whole entire game. And it was 1-1 after the first 3 innings. Chico State had 2 runners on with 2 outs. That was the closest they got to scoring another run. And it ended 4-1 in 10 innings off a 3-run home run for Dominguez Hills. Unfortunately, their season comes to an end off of that home run right there.
Back-to-back losses.
Yeah, back-to-back losses to Dominguez Hills, and all they had to do was win one of the last two games, and they would have made it to the West Region, and unfortunately, they just didn't have enough.
Hey,
so,
shouts to our ladies, though.
Yep, yep.
Ready to represent.
It was a great season at the end of it all. They really came in with the fighting spirit of a Wildcat, and can we get one more for the rest of the season? One more. There we go. Go Wildcats. Until next season, next up we have high school baseball coming up next week. That starts a couple days from now. So, yep.
All right.
North State update.
I definitely didn't leave you enough time for foot and mouth, so you just want to knock out some grinds my gears?
Let's do it.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'll start with one real quick.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Subwoofers in cars when you're over the age of 30. What are we doing?
Yeah.
It is very annoying. Stop. Why did we go through that phase? Why did we want to kill our ears when we were driving?
I have no idea.
It's
so obnoxious.
I hate my life.
And I
right
just
now.
Saw someone going up and down the street here right in front of all this outdoor seating for food, just wanting to look cool. And it's like, bro was in his 40s.
You don't look cool, though. That's
no, you don't.
We thought we were so cool.
No,
when we did that.
It's
we,
obnoxious.
We thought we were the coolest.
Yeah,
ever.
No, it was never cool.
Yeah.
It seemed cool when I was 15.
Yeah, I know.
But
yeah.
Now I'm 38. No longer is cool. All right, I got you.
Yeah.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When you go into an empty space, like a parking lot or maybe a gym, and then someone comes in and sits right next to you.
Yes.
Whether it's a parking lot and they park right next to you, or you're at a gym and a machine, and there's plenty of other machines open
yes.
to use, and they use the machine right next to you. Just give me my space, man. If there's space to be had, let me be having that space. Have some space yourself. There's plenty to go around. Why do you need to clog up my space with your space?
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Oh, my God.
Take your space and enjoy it.
Yeah. You know what? Let me piggyback on that one.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Why are we still crowding the baggage carousel at the airport? If everyone just stood 5 to 10 feet back, we'd all be able to see our bag coming, easily make it to the baggage carousel. I almost took out a kid on Thursday or whatever day I flew up to Seattle, because his mom was standing right next to the carousel, and it was right in kind of a tight corner area. If we all would just take a step back and respect each other's space, it'd be a better situation for everyone.
Respect the space no matter what, people. Yeah. Just respect the space.
All right, I got you.
Yeah.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When I'm coming to a stop sign and there's a pedestrian that's going to cross the street and they wait for me to stop. I got a stop sign, my dude. I'm going to stop no matter what.
Yeah.
Now you make me wait longer for you to cross the street when you can have been walking already because you were scared I wasn't going to stop.
Yeah.
Not to mention you're a pedestrian. I got to stop for you already no matter what.